Tony Yoka is set to face Christian Hammer on November 27th. This is a pretty quick turnaround after he stopped his countryman, Johan Duopa, in one round a few weeks ago. So it's good to see that they're keeping Yoka active because he had long periods of inactivity in the very, very early stages of his career, and they're trying to rectify that now. So in steps Christian Hammer, who was lined up to fight Dave Allen. That fight fell out. Now he's stepping in against Yoka, which is a bigger fight for him. And I think it's an adequate step in the right direction for Tony Yoka. Christian Hammer's been in there, as we all know, with a lot of good fighters, from Tyson Fury to Alexander Povetkin, Luis Ortiz, several others over the years, Marius Wack. And at this stage of his career, he really needs the biggest opportunities possible and the biggest paydays possible. And I have to imagine that he's going to get paid more to be facing Tony Yoka than he would have got paid to face Dave Allen on the Eddie Hearn show, whenever it was, a couple weeks ago. So, yeah, here we go. Tony Yoka versus Christian Hammer. Let me know what you guys think about this fight. I personally, as I say, think it's an adequate step up. I'm, of course, expecting Tony Yoka to win. How good will he look? Well, he looked very good in his last fight against Duopa. I was very surprised that Duopa only lasted one round, because Duopa has a reputation for tremendous durability. Yes, he has been knocked out by Alexander Povetkin in the past, but other than that, it's very difficult to stop the guy. He took Deontay Wilder, 10 or 11 rounds and never hit the canvas. He went a distance with Jerome Miller. He actually stopped Robert Hellenius. So Duopa, yes, he's getting up there in age, but he'd never shown the kind of fragility that you would imagine would allow someone like Tony Yoka to stop him in one round. Because Tony Yoka, although he's a good boxer and he was a good amateur Olympic gold medalist and all that, he's never been a devastating knockout puncher. And all these big men can punch to a certain degree, of course. But to get a guy like Duopa out of there so early was surprising. So anyway, hopefully Christian Hammer can offer a lot more resistance than Duopa did. Hopefully he can take Yoka a lot more rounds and maybe ask some questions. Let's see. Let me know what you guys think in the comments below about this particular matchup. Tony Yoka versus Christian Hammer. How do you see the fight going? Do you give Hammer any chance at all? Do you, like me, believe this is an adequate step in the right direction for Yoka? I mean, I'm not saying it's a great fight for Yoka, but it's an adequate fight. Really, we want to see Yoka in there against somebody who is an ambitious contender. He doesn't have to be as young as Yoka. Maybe he can have a couple losses on his record, but somebody who still has some fire in their belly and can give Yoka a decent enough test for us boxing fans to have some idea where Yoka's at this stage of his career and how good he is. Because what I personally don't want to see is Yoka jump from this level against the likes of Christian Hammer straight in there to world title level. I would prefer to know more about what I'm going to get if you put Tony Yoka in a world title fight, because there are so many fighters out there jockeying for position to get a world title shot. If Yoka is to be one of the guys in the not too distant future to get a shot, I want to know that he's ready. So put him in there against somebody with some ambition in the top 10, top 15, and then we can, based upon his performance, start looking at title shots and getting excited about such. So yeah, let me know what you guys think in the comments below about Tony Yoka fighting Christian Hammer on November 27th. I don't read French, so I don't know all the other information here, but the word for November is similar enough, and I know the number 27, they use the same numerals. So yeah, let me know what you guys think in the comments below. According to Eddie Hearn, there are negotiations ongoing between himself and Canelo Alvarez's team for a showdown between Canelo and Callum Smith in December on DAZN. So it's interesting that Canelo seems willing, after getting out of that DAZN contract, to still fight on the platform. Maybe, some people are speculating that it was more about Canelo breaking away from De La Hoya than it was about breaking away from DAZN, because that contract that he was in meant, one of the things that Canelo was upset about is that there were conversations apparently going on between De La Hoya and DAZN that Canelo wasn't privy to. And that, I have to assume, has got something to do with the nature of that contract, the way it was structured. Whereas now, Canelo says that he is going to promote his own fights. Maybe he'll work in conjunction with other promoters on a fight-by-fight basis, as I suggested in a previous video about this subject. But he's essentially going to be his own boss from now on, and I think that is absolutely fantastic. This is why I prefer the structure of boxing to something like the UFC, where the fighter can never really be their own boss. I like what Canelo was able to do here. And the boxing structure has its pros and cons, the same way that the UFC structure has its pros and cons. But as somebody who's very pro-fighter, I prefer the boxing structure because it allows the fighters to maximize their earnings, etc. So anyway, Canelo Alvarez in negotiation, and by the way, Canelo's team have confirmed this. They haven't said that it's definitely going to be Callum Smith. They're talking to several different parties, but one of the parties definitely is Smith, and possibly the fight could happen in December on DAZN. Let me know what you guys think about this in the comments below. I personally think it's a very good fight. I know Callum Smith has caught a lot of flack for the contentious decision that he got over John Ryder. Personally, I didn't think that decision was as bad as pretty much everybody else does. I've watched the fight several times, and I thought it was legitimately close. I didn't think Ryder did as well as most people think he did. But anyway, that aside, styles make fights. And John Ryder, being a southpaw, has one particular style. And even though we would all agree that he's a better fighter than, excuse, God, that Canelo is a better fighter than him, I nearly said something that nobody would ever allow me to live down. Even though we all know Canelo's a better fighter than John Ryder, John Ryder does have a different style. He is more of a volume guy. At least he was in the Callum Smith fight, more of a volume guy than Canelo tends to be. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. Surely Canelo will be the favorite in the fight. And I've seen John Ryder in real life, by the way. He must be about, I don't know, 5'9 or something, 5'10, somewhere around there. Canelo Alvarez, they say, is about 5'9. Maybe he's closer to 5'7, I would imagine. So I think there's going to be a bigger height difference between Canelo and Callum Smith than there was between John Ryder and Callum Smith. So that's something to bear in mind. How's Callum Smith going to approach the fight? Will he purely keep it at long range, try to stay out of Canelo's way and get Canelo to maybe reach in with shots and encounter him? Or is he going to engage on the inside? You wouldn't have thought that engaging on the inside would be the best strategy, because Canelo went all the way up to light heavyweight and he knocked out Kovalev. I know it was Kovalev coming to the end of his career, but nonetheless, we've seen what he can do against big guys. So, you know, let's see what strategy Callum Smith employs if that fight does go ahead. But the main thing I want to know is your opinion on this potential fight between Canelo and Callum Smith and the situation with Canelo with regards to his broadcaster, whether he's going to be working with DAZN or maybe he'll hop between different broadcasters. Maybe he'll just sell each fight to the highest bidder. I think that's a fantastic thing for Canelo to do, a fantastic way for him to maximize his revenue so he doesn't get tied into any long-term contracts. For each opponent, he can propose a particular opponent and say, okay, in fact, he doesn't have to propose an opponent. He can just go to each network and say, okay, who have you got that could fight me and how much money are you willing to pay me to fight that guy? You know, fantastic situation for Canelo. So yeah, let me know what you think about all that in the comments below. First of all, I want to big up Andreas Mischli over there at Zone Gym in Wood Green. This is not a paid promotion or anything like that. I've never done a paid promotion on this channel and probably never will. I just want to simply big up that particular man, Andreas Mischli, and big up that business, Zone Gym in Wood Green. Okay, on to some boxing. Tyson Fury has said that he will never give Deontay Wilder a shot after Deontay Wilder made all these accusations of Tyson Fury allegedly cheating, putting stuff in his gloves, so on and so forth. Now, you really can't blame Tyson Fury. I'm going to quote him, actually. He says, quote, Deontay has tried to bring my character down with the BS. He said, if I was like the rest of the world, I'd probably sue him for defamation for about $100 million. But I'm not really interested in doing that type of thing. He'll never get a shot at me. Finished. Never, for what he said. End quote. And as I say, can't blame him. Deontay Wilder has gone off the deep end. He was so wrapped up in his own delusions which were predicated on his own, overinflated ego and the stuff that his fans were telling him. It was completely out of control. He lost touch with reality altogether. And so when Tyson Fury brought him back down to reality in that rematch and demolished him, Deontay has been struggling to come to terms with what happened ever since. Hence all this absolute madness that's been coming out of his mouth. So I know a lot of people are urging Tyson Fury to sue Deontay Wilder. But see, the thing you have to understand is that situations like that cost money with lawyers and what have you. And sometimes they're more hassle than they're worth. It's not like Tyson Fury is short of a few quid and he's focusing on his career and what he's doing. And he's never come across as that type of person anyway. His promoter's like that, of course, Frank Warren, but Tyson Fury's never really come across like that. So, you know, sometimes, I mean, even Eddie Hearn could have sued so many people on social media, in the boxing world. He could have sued so many people. He chose not to. He doesn't want to put his energy into all that. He doesn't believe, at the end of the day, it's, you have to make your own assessment of them situations there, because if you feel like your reputation really has been significantly damaged and the public have turned against you and you've lost the confidence and the trust of the fans and maybe fighters as well, in that situation, you might actually think about suing. But if the person who's making the allegations isn't really believed and everybody thinks he's a crackpot and the fans are mainly on your side and no one's taking the guy seriously, then you might decide, let him keep barking. He's digging himself a grave, basically, in a metaphorical sense, in terms of his reputation. He's only harming himself by coming out with all these kind of things. That's what you might decide. And I think that's what Tyson Fury has decided. And I think it's probably the right decision for now. Unless Deontay Wilder wants to continue down this road on and on and on, then maybe Tyson Fury can look at it again in the future. But for now, he's looking to fight either Ajit Kabayel, Carlos Takam, somebody like that. I know that behind the scenes, there have been some attempts by Shelley Finkel to actually bring about some type of legal situation and get the trilogy fight with Deontay Wilder on. Bob Arum doesn't think that their case really has any merit, so he doesn't seem to be particularly worried, and they're pushing ahead with Tyson Fury's next fight. But you never know. As I've said all along, although I don't think Deontay Wilder wants this rematch deep down in his soul, I have to be, I'm nothing less than certain that Shelley Finkel wants it. I'm nothing less than certain that JD's wants it. And ditto for Al Haymon. Because Deontay is, 35 years of age? He's surely not going to get any better from this point. He's been riddled with injuries. He's coming off a devastating knockout loss. The blueprint there is out, there are several blueprints now that Tyson Fury has shown, at least two, of how to beat Deontay Wilder. So they must be thinking at this stage, we need to cash this guy out. We need to get this trilogy fight with Tyson Fury because it could be the last payday that we get from Deontay Wilder. And some of these guys have been eating well off Deontay for a good few years now. So they want that last big payday, I have to imagine. But yeah, Tyson Fury doesn't seem very keen, based upon what Wilder has said and done, to give him that last payday. You see, this is where Wilder really has shot himself in the foot, because he's talking about how he gave Tyson Fury these opportunities which he didn't need to give him. And that's true. But Wilder has been such a sore loser. If he hadn't been such a sore loser, if he'd been more magnanimous in defeat, then maybe Tyson Fury would have given him a shot at some stage, maybe not next, but when Deontay got his act together, because Tyson was calling for Deontay to fight, where you at, sign a contract, for several months, and Deontay was nowhere to be seen. He was popping up on milk cartons all over America. So you can't then wait until the contract has expired, according to Team Fury, and wait for them to move on and openly say they're going to fight somebody else, and then come out and start complaining. That's ridiculous. Where were your complaints? Where was your urgency to fight for all these months? You know? Doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, I think Tyson Fury should just focus on what he's doing. And Wilder, really, I think is beyond help at this stage. He's so far out there. He's so foolish. He's just making the situation worse and worse for himself every time he opens his mouth. And the only people who have any sympathy for this guy at all at this point are a hardcore number of his deranged fans. And that's about it. But everybody else, even the people who were kind of casual Wilder fans, they weren't really hardcore diehards, but they liked Wilder, you know, but weren't really fanatical about him. He's lost a lot of those people because of the way he's been behaving. And the neutrals, he's lost all them, the majority of them. So, yeah, Wilder needs to fix up, but I'm sure he won't. Let me know what you guys think about this in the comments below. Tyson Fury is saying he's basically going to freeze Deontay Wilder out, at least as long as he's champion. And look, you can't blame him, not just because of what Wilder said, but also because there are so many other fights out there. There's the Anthony Joshua fight, of course, and there are a whole host of up-and-coming contenders that Tyson Fury could step in the ring with and have big fights with, who are much younger than Deontay Wilder. I mean, even his own stablemate, Daniel Dubois, if he manages to get past Joe Joyce and get himself into a good position, I mean, you could see him fight Tyson Fury somewhere down the line. And there's going to be at least, what, one fight, maybe two with Joshua, maybe a trilogy. We'll see where Dillian Whyte goes. There's Hrgović. There's the likes of Michael Hunter. So, several other heavyweights as well. Joseph Parker. So we'll see where it all goes. Let me know what you guys think in the comments below. I'm out.